Hello, I'd like you to subscribe, please. If you could do that now, that'd be great. Thank you.
LinxPod. Tales and entertainment for the people of Lincolnshire with John Marshall.
This week on LinxPod, my guest is a chap who honestly had so many great stories to tell and was so entertaining, we could have chatted for hours and hours. He really is a superman. For many years, he's enjoyed having a gangbang, having a ball against the wall. And his wondrous stories and forthcoming movie he's going to talk about as well. Let's meet Dean Michael. He was a member of party band Black Lace. Let's meet Dean Michael right now without any further agadoo-doo-doo.
From the Humber to the Wash, LinxPod with John Marshall.
Right, look who it is. It's Dean Michael. Dean Michael's on the LinxPod. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good to meet you. And good to meet you. Now, this is the CD. Well, tell me, first of all, about this CD.
Well, that's the latest one that's out at the moment.
Yeah.
We can just open it up. I can tell you more about it then. Here we go. Look at that inside.
Oh, it's a full up 15 songs.
15 songs, and they're all songs that I'm well known for.
Yeah, you certainly are.
Yeah,
we're going to get heavily into this, right? So this is available. Is it available now?
Yes, it's available now, and we have them at the Comic Cons that I'm doing at the moment.
Okay,
which we'll tell you all about later
on. Plug in straight away for the CD, which is great. Now, Black Lace is who you're chiefly associated with. Tell us about the history and your involvement and when that started with Black Lace.
It was a big part of my life, really, was Black Lace, because I was involved with them from the 70s, really, because Alan Barton, who was with me in Black Lace and was the main front man at the time, we go back way before Black Lace, back to the 70s.
Oh, right.
To 1976, where Alan and I used to work in different bands, doing the 10-day runs like you used to do up the northeast.
Yeah.
Down to Wales and Scotland, and
and
we'd cross paths that way, you know, stay in digs. And our guitarist was leaving in the group I was in at the time, Clandestine Route. And the lad said to me, "You don't know a guitarist here that's available. We're stuck because ours is leaving tomorrow and we need a guitarist." So I said, "Funny enough," I said, "Alan Barton's just in between bands at the moment.
Right.
And he might be able to do something for us." So I rang Alan up and I said, "We've got a job come up for you in the band. It's about a 6-month job if you want to do it." "So when do you want me to start?" I said, "Tomorrow."
Wow.
"We've got a gig tomorrow." So I stayed up all night with Alan, teaching him all the guitar parts and the harmonies and everything. And he fit in straight away, and he was with us for the whole 6 months.
Oh, okay.
And then a few years went by, and Alan was with Black Lace then, in the early 70s. 1979, they represented the Eurovision with a song called Mary Ann as a 5-piece band.
As Black Lace?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's how Black Lace came about. And then, 1979, Jerusalem. I wasn't in the band then. And then it went down to a 2-piece then. It was Alan and Colin.
Yes.
And
that's the point most people will know Black Lace from.
Yeah, because I was still involved with them because we're friends, as I say, from being in the bands together. And Alan used to say to me, "Will you come and help promote the songs? And will you come and do some backing vocals for us on these crowd scenes we want, you know, like the Superman, hey," and all that, you know. So I did all those.
Right.
And even Agadoo, I was sang on that. We're doing the backing as well,
So you were pushing pineapples a long time ago. Right.
And then the very first Top of the Pops, we went to do, as I was, he asked me to play the drums. So I went down to do Top of the Pops with them, play the drums behind them. Then after Top of the Pops, then they did Superman, Agadoo, and then Colin left then in 85, and I joined, Alan phoned me, a funny story. So they've been looking for me all day. I didn't know what was going off. So Alan said to me, "We've been trying to ring you all day. This is at tea time." I said, "Why?" He said, "Colin, we've had to sack Colin, so we need somebody to come
sacked.
In.
Sacked?
Yeah, he was sacked. So it was all, the proverbial hit the fan, as it were.
Yeah.
So they rang me up and they said, "We're wanting you to do Black Lace with us, you know." So he had a meeting. He said, "Can you come into the office?" So I drove straight to the office. And I said, when do you want me to start? He said, tomorrow.
No.
So tomorrow? He got me back because I got him with the new
yeah.
stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's yes. right.
So that's how I got into Black Lace. Yeah. So I stayed up all night, learnt the show.
Learnt the shows, yeah.
And the first gig was for the fan club, which we had at the time.
Oh, right.
So I was like straight in the deep end, wow. really, at Wakefield Theatre Club.
On lead vocals at this point.
I was doing a couple of lead vocals. Yeah. That songs that I knew from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, you had to roll.
So we had to readjust the show. Yeah, yeah. And then, obviously, the hits, which I knew anyway because I was out promoting them all.
Yeah, of course.
And doing showing everybody the dances around all the holiday camps. So Alan would be at one holiday camp, Colin be somewhere else, I'd be at another one.
Oh, I see.
And we were going round like for the whole 6 months.
Spreading the love.
Spreading the, giving the record out to each place, showing them the dance, and then... You know, all the red coats at Butlins would be doing it. And then it just took the whole summer. And then by the end of the summer, it became a hit record.
Wow. Okay.
And that's how we broke the records in the early days.
Fantastic. So this went on for many, many years then.
Yeah. Since then. I joined then as a member, full-time member, in 1985, Christmas time.
Yeah.
When Alan actually phoned me to say, you're in.
You're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
And then we did the film, Rita Sue and Bob 2.
Yeah, well, we've got to get into that. That's a massive film in lots of people's memories. And you wrote a song that everybody knows that were involved in writing that. It's in that film. Tell that story.
Well, we were approached by a film company that made the actual production company that made the film of Rita Sue and Bob 2. And they came, Mr. Lewinstein came from America.
Right.
We had a meeting with him at John's house. And he explained that he'd like, you know, the synopsis of the film and how he'd like this scene that he would like us to be in as well. We didn't expect to be in the film. We just thought we were doing a song for it.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, invited us to be on the film. We wrote the song. Alan and I wrote the idea. And he said he wanted like something like a conga, but a bit risque because it was a guy out with his two babysitters and we were having a gangbang, is what he said. So... Oh, I said, "Oh, right, okay," and that's the rest is history, really.
We're having a gangbang.
Yeah, we're having a ball.
Everybody's sung that in the past, and you're the man behind writing it.
That's right.
Wow, and I've met him.
And that's what's got us at these Comic Cons, really, because of people from films which I've been in.
Yeah,
I made another film a few years ago now with Johnny Vegas. There was Johnny Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Madness was in it. Bruce Jones, Les Battersby, was a good friend of ours. Myself. There was the people from all the House Martins, the House Martins, she was in it, but it's never been released yet.
And it?
No, that's about a guy with Asperger's disease,
okay.
Or syndrome, should I say, it's not disease, it's syndrome, and called Tom. And he was the main character and he loved the 80s music. And this is how we all came in from
different thing.
And Johnny Vegas was one of the main characters.
We need this releasing.
I know, we do. Yes. We do.
Yeah, yeah. We appeal to that.
Yeah.
One thing that has been released that people might have seen you on, and you were really good on, is The Voice.
The Voice.
What's the... no doubt people after you've watched or listened to this can go and watch you on YouTube performing on The Voice. Was that a good experience? Did you enjoy it?
Right, another story. Yeah. Good one, this. Not a lot of people know this. So I'm in my house, in my kitchen, and I've got a similar setup here. I've got my computer, I've got an iPad and everything, a little studio.
Yeah.
And my landline goes, and I pick the phone up, and this guy said, "Is that Dean?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's so-and-so from The Voice."
Oh.
I said, "Oh, yeah. We'd like you to come and be on The Voice." He said, "Every year we feature somebody that's been famous in the, 70s, 80s, 90s, or whatever." Right. I don't know if you know this, but they feature somebody every year that's... sort of
done it
and been there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm going, and I'm as I'm doing it, I'm Googling this guy's name, and it's the guy from Scritti Politti.
Oh, really?
Who is a talent scout for...
Is he?
Yeah, for The Voice.
Oh, blimey, I used to like a bit of Scritti Politti. Yeah.
And I've met them since the 80s festivals.
Okay.
So I met the guy in person that asked me to go on The Voice.
Wow.
So anyway, I didn't know what to do about it. And I spoke to my management about it. Said, "We don't really want you to go on it like they usually do. I'm a celeb. You didn't want me to go on that."
Right.
Big Brother, he didn't want me to go on that one. There was all sorts of TV
shows. Oh, really?
Shows. Oh, it's not for you, it's not for you, it's not for you. So I said, right, yes, I'll go on it, because I was sort of in between doing Blacklist, and I thought, right, I've got my opportunity here, I'll do it. So I did. So the rest is history. I went through it all, went for rehearsals with the band, picked a song out, and then they asked me then to do the heats. I wasn't going to win it or anything, it was just that particular year was I was featured on it as the celebrity guest, if you like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So... And another story about that as well. Done all the rehearsals, done all the band things. The voice, perfect. My voice was great. So then once you've done all that, there's 2 weeks before you actually do a production.
Oh.
So you've got 2 weeks off. In the second week, the first week, sorry, at the end of the first week, my mum and dad was in Mallorca. They'd been to Mallorca, and they said, can you pick us up from the airport in Manchester? So I went to pick them up in the car and drove them back to Leeds. Mum and Dad's full of flu and cold and everything. I thought, God, I'm sat in a car, driving these, coughing and sneezing.
I'm ahead of you here. Yeah.
Got to drop Mum and Dad off. Got to the day of filming. Couldn't speak.
No.
I've got flu, I've got cold, I've got sore throat. They brought a doctor in, gave me an injection so it could get my voice going.
Yeah.
Give me honey and Manuka honey and lozenges and everything. Hot lemon drinks to try and... Anyway, I could just about get it out. So what you heard on the voice wasn't the best I could
really perform. You were good as well. You were good at not feeling good.
No, I wasn't feeling good at all. I'm full of flu. Could hardly speak before I went on. And because I said, is there any chance I can do it another time? I said, no, we're at production now.
It's got to happen.
You've got to do it, you know. So that's, anyway.
What did you sing, Dee?
I did Never Give Up on a Good Thing.
Brilliant.
Which is on that CD.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on there.
George Benson.
Yeah.
Brilliant song.
I did that one. And then they asked me to go back for the final.
Right.
To do Agadoo.
So you did Agadoo on the voice.
Did you? Yeah.
You still enjoy performing those old Blacklist tunes?
People wouldn't really be happy if I didn't.
No.
You know? Because when you say Dean Michael, Dean Michael, and then they say Blacklist. Oh, yeah, Blacklist.
Yeah.
Oh, he's from Blacklist. Yeah. He was with Blacklist.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, he'll sing Agadoo, or he'll sing Superman, or he'll sing Music Man, or Conga. But if you don't do it, then people have come to see you, and you don't do that song, there's going to be problems, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And who are the people coming to see? Do you think it's people who remember the olden days, or is it... Do the youth of today have a go at Agadoo these days?
Do you know, you'd be amazed to how many people know it, because people have, from the 80s, now it's 40 years old this year, is Agadoo.
Is it?
40 years old.
Oh, we feel old now. Yeah.
40 years old. And so those people that were like parents that bought it for their children, them children are now grown up, and they're playing it to their children and grandchildren.
Mm.
So every party you go to, children's party, our songs are still played there.
Still live, yeah.
So you've got this wide audience from young children still to grandmas and granddads now that remember it.
Amazing.
From the first.
Cleverly written songs, aren't they? Because they are designed clearly for people to join in with.
Yeah, they are. They're pure party songs.
Yeah.
Aimed at the party audience, if you like, the summer, you know, holiday camp type thing. And our manager found the first few songs, like he found the Birdie song to start with.
All right.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
got them to go in and record it, the tweets went to number one that particular week.
Oh, did they?
Because they put it off and put it off so long.
Yeah.
And then he found Superman then. So right. Then it translated it all into English. And
oh, it was originally a foreign song, wasn't it?
Superman was Italian.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, we're learning things.
Yeah. Agadu was a French, I think it was French or Spanish.
Was it?
Originally, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I wrote The Music Man.
Yeah.
I was out in Benidorm in Spain.
Yeah.
And I was sat in the bar one afternoon having a coffee and seeing all the people walking past and all the Brits, here we go, and all that, you know, and the Scots were going and they've got the kilts on and they're playing, pretending to play bagpipes. I thought, and I remember The Music Man for me being at school.
Right.
The original one.
Yeah.
coins on the table, rap, tap, 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 tap,
yeah.
rap, tap,
wow.
tap. And ting-a-ling-a-ling on the glasses, coins on the glasses.
Yeah.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling. And I thought about the music man putting all these different things that I'd seen with people walking by in Benidorm into a song.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And Brilliant. Then and then we played it to the management, the record company. They went, yeah, great, we'll record that. Recorded it, and then it was ready for the summer again. So we were playing in Blackpool at the Tower, and Radio 1 Roadshow came to town.
Oh.
So we were there, me and, it was Colin at the time, me and Colin, gone with this with the CD of Music Man, gave it to Bruno Brooks, gave it to Bruno Brooks, and because we knew Bruno from the days of Top of the Pops. So we said, we've got a new one out, Music Man, and he went, oh, I'll try and get you on, lads, I'll try and get you on in the, because we've got the thousands of people there out in the in, on the main thing in
yeah.
Blackpool.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and it was being broadcast live from Blackpool.
They get you on.
And we got us on. So we've got that 3-minute slot, and the phones were going mad, apparently. People ringing in, where can we get the song? Where, is it released yet? And all this.
Oh,
this
brilliant.
This is great. There, in town that particular night was Pete Waterman and Michaela Strachan doing the Hitman and Her.
Oh, I loved that.
So they'd heard it on the radio, rung the hotel up where we were staying, said, can we speak to Black Lace? We said, yeah. They said, we've got a slot for you tonight on the Hitman and Her, if you want to do it tonight on the thing. So we went and did it. And that was it. And then the week after, it went straight in the charts, 52.
Amazing.
The charts. So,
amazing. Yeah, whoa, yeah. You've got some real stories, Dean. I love it. And you've these have all gone into an autobiography you've done as well.
Yeah. Well, in lockdown I did it.
Yeah.
What happened was I had a shop. Because before lockdown, my son lives in Otley in Yorkshire, in the Yorkshire Dales, and he'd got this shop, and he said, we're certainly not doing anything with it. And I'd got a contact with the Bling Furniture, you know, the Bling Pictures and all that. Mr. Bling, it was called.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I opened it up, got all the stuff in, all the stock, it was open for 2 weeks, fantastic, it was doing great, you know. And then all of a sudden, lockdown. So I had to shut the shop. So I started writing this book because the book publisher I'd met said, you ought to write your autobiography, you see, after all, you've done all these things.
Mm.
And so in the shop, when there was like no customers, I used to go still and get put all the stock out and in the windows. If anybody did walk past or anything, did some stuff online, then they could see what I'd got, you see. And so what I did, I religiously went in there from 10 o'clock in the morning till 5 in the evening.
Wow, did you?
And I just sat behind my till and everything in the desk, writing out on me a computer, just typing in me life story.
Brilliant.
And putting it all, getting all the research, and which took 2 years.
I have a terrible memory. You've obviously got a good memory.
Well, no, I had people helping me, right. Researchers, and like my family as well, because I've got the children and everything, and they could remember things. And then my mum, we lost my dad 7 years ago, so he missed all that lockdown, you know.
Oh, but of course,
yeah. So yeah. Dad couldn't help me, so I had to rely on my mum. Mum was good at the time. She's quite a good memory. She's not as good now. She's 90 now, so. But all happened in that shop. And
what's the autobiography called?
It's Still Pushing Pineapples.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Still Pushing Pineapples. Yeah, yeah. Pineapples will never... Do you like a pineapple, by the way?
I do, actually, yeah. On a pizza.
Do you? On a pizza. I didn't think the podcast was going to be this controversial. Blimey. Is it true Black Lace can be traced back to Lincolnshire?
Yes. Now then, so in 1982, we were playing... Oh, Alan and Colin were playing. I say we, because I was there at the time as well, because we were out promoting the songs.
Of course.
And we did a place called Happy Days in Chapel St. Leonard's,
right,
near Ingermoles. And it was Pete Stewart. He owned the holiday camp there. The Happy Days.
Happy Days holiday camp. Park. Okay, yeah. If you remember that, listen to this.
Pete Stewart.
Yeah.
So Pete used to play the songs as they came out, like with Superman and Agado. They'd be playing on the tannoy first thing in the morning. He'd put them on to wake everybody up. So all these people that were staying there.
Brilliant.
It'd be on the hour, every hour he'd play it, you see, to promote it. So he actually helped finance it all to start, you know, once it started moving, because you need a lot of money to to make, you know, when you're just a small company and, and it's coming big and big. Because she didn't have downloads in them days. No, no. It was physical CDs or records, vinyl, you know. So you had to physically go to a shop and buy it. You couldn't download it.
No, no.
We didn't have any
internet. None of that.
No, no.
None of that.
So Pete got behind it. And he's got, I think there's still the gold discs now and the silver discs from Superman in the behind the bar.
Is there?
I think it's still there now, yeah. Somebody told me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And he got involved with Smokey as well, because Alan left Black Lace to join Smokey. And so Pete helped them get back, come back, do a comeback as well.
Blimey.
After that, so.
Right old stories. Now, this we've done autobiography, we've done the new CD, we've done The Voice, but there's a new film coming out about you and the missus. Is that right?
That's right, and my family.
And it's called, not shockingly, Still pushing pineapples.
There it is.
what's that all about? When are we going to get to see this?
Well, we've been 2 years filming it. It's a reality as you see it. Nothing, no script. It's all just as things happen.
What happens to you is in the film, right?
Yeah. So it was not scripted. It shows how the music industry was back in the '80s. And we go back to the '80s to the venues where I used to play, and we film a little bit in Blackpool, and then how it's all changed and evolved, like, through the internet, and how, you know, the story of the records, how we used to have to promote them, didn't have any internet or anything like that. So, and then it goes progresses where we go back to Spain, where I spent a lot of time working out there. So we took Mum in a camper van, Hayley, my partner. She drove us to Benidorm with Mum, and there's all the experience of what happens with when you've got an old lady with you driving all that way. Some happy bits, some sad bits, and some scary bits as well. You think, oh gosh, what's going to happen here? You know, I won't go too much into detail.
No, don't spoil it. But when's it going to happen? When are we going to see it?
Well, we're hoping for probably summertime this year.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well,
it'll be in the cinemas. Yeah. It's going to be in cinemas.
Is it?
And then it's going on to TV after it's been in the cinemas.
This sounds good. So that's Still Pushing Pineapples. If you look for Still Pushing Pineapples, you'll find...
Yeah, I think there's something on the internet that you can look at, the production company.
Is there?
The film company have put something up there.
Okay.
The synopsis of it and all that. You can. There's a... And I think they're building a website. They'll do all the usual things, won't they?
Amazing. So, all right. And the joke book is... there's a joke book out well.
That came from doing the autobiography.
Yeah.
So Steve Collins, who was the owner of the what do they call it now, the book company, where publicise it, you know, publishers.
Yeah.
The book publisher, that's the word I'm trying to get.
Got there in the end.
He's a book publisher, and he's had many, many books out, and he produced this book of mine. We sort of co-did it together, and he's like the ghostwriter, if you like.
Yeah.
And I give him all the information, and he put it all into a marvellous book. There's all pictures and everything in there. And then he found out I'm a bit of a joker, you see, because working in Spain with all the comedians, you pick all these gags up.
Yeah.
So you can say a subject to me, and I've probably got a joke I could tell you that's, you know, I wish I had the book with you now.
Yeah.
Because he calls them crap jokes. And he said to me...
Well, I like a crap joke. I love them.
Well, he said... You must have at least 250 crap jokes that you've told me. I said, I probably have, you know, I'm working with all these comedians. He said, why don't you write a comic book, you know, a comedy joke book? So I said, well, I'll sit down and I'll see how many I can remember and how many I can do. Wrote them all out, and he made a book. So he published another one of my jokes. But he's asked me to do another one now because it's become very popular. So... That's probably another avenue I can go down
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a lot going on.
And then there's a puppet as well, which we did do with CBBC.
Did you?
Yeah. Because he does a thing
You're a busy man, Dean.
He does a thing called Stay Safe Charlie. And I'm writing all the tunes for the Stay Safe Charlie songs. He's written the poetry. And I've put them into music and into songs now. So that's another thing that's in the pipeline, along with the puppet.
Well, good for you, man. Good for you. And will we see you performing live in Lincolnshire anytime soon?
Yes, I've got it here where I'm playing, because I've got that many different ones. Can I just go back to the 70s before Blacklace in Skegness? Do you remember a place called the Variety Bar?
Yeah.
Well, I did a summer season there.
A whole season?
In 1978, 79.
Wow.
Yeah.
People may remember, Dean.
I think there was two levels to it. I think it was a nightclub above and then the cabaret place. Right.
Wow.
Can you remember?
I think I can remember it, but yeah, it's vague. Yeah. I mean, I'm a youth.
Yeah, compared to me.
I'm not sure.
But I just wanted to mention that because that was the very first.
People's memories is what we want to tap into.
Yeah,
here, Dean.
I wonder
that's
if
good.
Anybody could
yeah.
comment
yeah.
on this.
Comment below if
about
you think.
The variety. Yeah. Remembers the Variety Bar.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe so, Dean.
I think it was on this pier or near the pier.
Okay.
Near that area. It was on the seafront. I know that.
Did you witness the Dean phenomenon in the 70s?
And there was a band called Regency in there at the time. And Barry from Regency played quite a lot of the keyboard parts on our records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he lives in Grimsby now.
Small world, isn't it, when you get going?
Small world.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then, the ones, I'm just looking where I'm playing. It's the Sandcastle, I think it's called.
Oh, I've heard of that. Or maybe I've just heard of a sandcastle.
A suncastle.
The suncastle. The suncastle.
And they do the Comic-Con events there. And I'm booked to do the Comic-Con in the daytime. But it's also to book me on the evening to do an actual show.
Do the show, right.
So I'll be doing the hits of Blacklace and I'll be doing a few other ones, probably from The Voice. They never give up on a good thing. And... I think they're doing some bongo bingo type thing there as well.
Several songs from the Dean Michael latest CD will be in the set list.
Because I used to do the bongo bingos as well.
I've been to them.
They're brilliant.
Yeah, they all laugh.
So in the interval where they do a couple of games of bingo and they've got everybody up and then all of a sudden...
On I come.
They all go mad. They're all on the seats.
That's a great gig for you to get that.
I've done a few of those.
That suits you perfectly, I'd say.
Skegness Comic Con is the 3rd of August. I think that's in the Embassy Theatre.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did last year as well. And they asked me back.
They've been on this very podcast as the Embassy. So,
people. Oh, well, I'm there.
Brendan. Say hello to Brendan. He'll look after you, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's on the 3rd of August. Mm. I'm doing the Glowworm Festival in Nottingham.
Oh.
Have you heard of that one?
Yeah. No, I've heard of it,
I've not done it before, so it's the first time. I do quite a lot of festivals.
Right.
And that's the thing that's taking over now, I think, from the working men's clubs that used to be.
Yeah, now it's festival.
Everybody seems to get together for a festival, don't they?
Mm.
Because the nightclubs have all gone now as well, sadly.
That put acts on.
They have.
But so people want to find out more. You've got a website, Dean.
We've got Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
Okay, get on Facebook, look for Dean Michael.
And Twitter.
And
X now, isn't it?
It's X now. Yeah, yeah. I was on your X a little earlier.
Oh, was you?
Yes, I had a little look on your X.
And then Hayley runs my other one, the 80s pop star thing, that's on TikTok, I think it is. So we've got TikTok. We've got Instagram.
Yeah.
I've got all the usual.
You're on them all.
Yeah.
Look out for him.
Not all run by me, but my Facebook is my own. I've got like a blue tick, which is my one. That means it's my.
That's you doing it. Yeah.
All the others are all different people.
Not an impersonator of Dean Michaels. We don't want that. Dean, it's been really great having you on. Thank you ever so much for coming down and having a chat on the Links Pod. I think people find this very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Is there something else you want to mention? I can see you
I'm
looking.
I'm just looking now to see if there's anything else we need to mention to you and tell you.
Let's talk about Colin's death.
Oh, yeah. Because Colin died recently from Blacklace. So Alan died in a coach crash in Germany with smoking.
Right.
That was in
You brought 92. The tone down a bit now, but yeah, tell us.
Well,
tell us.
People want to know what's happening now, you see.
Sure.
So I don't do many of these podcasts.
Where you can get the message out.
That's right.
Yeah.
So basically now, Alan's gone. He went in 95. Colin went last year, suddenly.
Right.
He just retired as well. He'd only been retired a couple of weeks. And then he had a heart attack. And,
did he?
Yeah, that was terrible. But just before that, he'd messaged Hayley, my partner, to say, can we get together? Him and I, and do a Blacklace thing somewhere, you know, where we do like a reunion. But sadly, that was only a couple of days before he died. And so it never happened. So I'm really the only original 80s member left, you know.
Well, there you are. So if you want to see Black Lace, songs performed as they should be, the main man here is the man to see.
Well, long may
it continue. He plans to continue forever and ever.
Yeah. The thing is, once the movie's out, I think it will bring back a lot of memories for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think these songs will never die. They never will.
No,
they never will.
No,
They'll be long after I've gone.
Yeah.
But, I think the message is now keep going. I can't retire. I wanted to retire, but my missus won't let me.
She's driven you. She's arranged all this as well. So she's keeping you busy.
She does. Yeah. She's like my manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she gets me on my bookings and everything.
Brilliant.
And she drives me everywhere. And she's really good.
Fantastic. So,
well, I have to say that.
You've got a good one. Yeah. Especially when she's in the room.
Yeah.
We'll talk privately another time, Dean. Yeah. Dean Michaels, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Good man. There he is.
This is LinksPod.
And that's a wrap for another episode of LinksPod. Thank you to you for watching. Thank you to Keza on camera. Please hit subscribe. Thanks. Next week, I've got another of my old Links FM colleagues coming on, and the only one who is still a colleague, as we're both now working for the BBC. The legendary Sean Dunderdale is actually coming on here next week, and I can't wait. Can you? I'll catch you then.
LinksPod. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.